الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings and bounties, infinite blessings and bounties He has bestowed upon His creation. Out of His mercy and grace, and the greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal is He that He bestows iman and understanding of deen and then practice upon it with sincerity. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one of the ahadith, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that when Allah wills good towards someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends and wills and to bless someone, He bestows and gives him the understanding of deen, of his way of life. So what is deen? Deen is the way of life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. So deen is not zikr only, or the prayers, or the salah, or the fasting. As Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear again that these are some of the pillars of Islam. Five pillars, very famous, you have heard. So pillars are not the building only. Pillars are not the entire building. If there are five pillars, there are supposed to be five pillars in a building, then if the pillars are standing, they do not mean that that's the entire building. If anyone thinks this is the building now, he won't be able to live there and safeguard his property and from the different weathers and other natural disasters. But yes, pillars have their own significance, that on them the building is standing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, man intends good with someone, He gives him understanding of the deen, that what is deen. So when a person will know what is deen and understand that all this is temporal world and transient pleasures, as I said to you on Thursday, that the example Mashaykh say of those people who thinks they are enjoying the pleasures of the world while violating and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using His blessings to disobey Him and to become rebellious to Him, and then think they are successful. Their example is like those people who are in a war or in a battle, and in beginning, because the army, the enemy or the other army is playing a trick on them and they are not showing their strength or power, they seem to be winning in the beginning. And when in the first part they think they are winning, and some of them think that they have won the war, and at the end, if the disaster comes, the full power of the enemy is, they are battered with and they are killed and they lose everything. So always remember this saying of Mashaykh, that they say that, O people of this Ummah, O human being, that do not, those are not winners who seem to be winning apparently in the first half of the war or in the beginning. The winners are those who win at the end. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the end of death? What is the end of everything? End of everything is returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The end of this world is death. So whoever wins at the time of death, whoever wins at the time of death, he is the winner. Before that, no pious, no righteous person can claim any secure future in the hereafter for him. He cannot make any claim. And he should not make any claim. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows certain blessing, certain ilham on him, it is still an ilham and it is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is not the revelation as the revelation of prophethood, which he can be sure of. So he should always be fearful. Likewise, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst them who got the news of paradise by the tongue, blessed tongue and the truthful tongue of prophethood, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that you are people of paradise. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhul kareem, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf and others. But look at their life, and if you read their life, how they lived, how they still felt the fear, and how they thought that they have not fulfilled the uprightness and the taqwa and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah jalla majduhu, as Allah subhanahu jalla majduhu deserves. So the deen is greatest thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that if someone you know think that he has been blessed with this gift, he is the person who is really successful and achieves salvation. I might enjoy the pleasures of this world, but I know and people know that if my death comes in this state, I am a loser, so I am a loser. As you have seen now in the news, I also said many other times, that this regard the political situation, whatever it is in here, in Iraq, in America. But there is one person who paid taxes, who did everything, who gave an oath actually to a government. But now, when everyone is still there, all machinery, all technology, all armies, everything is there. No one can save that person. People who he thought he will save him are not going to save him. They've turned down, they say, we are not going to save you. In spite of all that power and majesty. I'm saying disregard the political situation, but think about the hadith when Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah jalla majduhu wants to save a person, none can do any harm. And when he does not, he want to cause harm to a person, he wills, then no one can save a person. So there are some people who everyone wants to harm, but they are at large. And there are people like now, the situation about hostage, who people want to save, people here want to save, and people in America want to save, all the world want to save. But no. But people who can save, they are not actually willing to. So if the government who has that power, who has that glory and power and army and special forces, etc., they cannot come to your help. Similarly, the awliya Allah and Mashayikh says that do not rely upon anyone. Do not give your life to a person. Do not make a pledge or give bayah to a person who is not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it your wife, be it wealth, be it your employer, be it your government, that who don't give the right which only Allah Jalla Majdhu deserves to anyone else. And that is that He is your Creator, He is your Lord, He deserves to be followed only. And in His disobedience, no one's obedience is lawful. And the way of life, as deen, which in other words, deen, is the way shown by Prophet ﷺ, the principles shown by Rasulullah ﷺ, and also the Islam, the principles have always been same from Sayyidina Adam ﷺ and to Muhammad ﷺ, Hazrat Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ, it has been the same. So take lesson, everything happens in front of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people of wisdom and intelligent people are who take lesson from the alteration of day and night, and also what happens in day and night as well. Do not be blind that some things have happened or there a disaster has come and certain calamity befalls someone. It is not out of trivialty or just of natural causes. The last cause is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who causes the weather, who causes the other things to be in certain manner. So it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Zahar al-fasadu fil barri wal bahr. The disruption, the chaos you see on the land and on the sea. The chaos, the wars, the natural disasters and other things which you see in the land and on, in the sea. Zahar al-fasadu fil barri wal bahr. All this chaos and anarchy you see. Zahar al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas. It is due to what people have been done, what people have done with their own hands. It's their own amals which are actually doing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only sends the result of it. Because He has made certain law, when someone does something, it automatically comes into action. When a person commits a sin, he thinks, I am safe sitting in this house, in my house, or in the cinema, or somewhere I am sitting alone, nothing is happening. When he presses this button, this switch of sin, all the unseen power, which you don't see, the power of angels, the glory of the unseen world, all the machinery, or you can say the system of the unseen universe actually begins to work against that person. He just made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his enemy. When someone is leader of some gang and he rules that gang or is a king, or when you made that person an enemy, you don't stand a chance. And if you are having a chance, you think there is some respite and some life, some time being given to you, that is also due to him. He is giving you for something which he knows. There is a saying in our Urdu language, that ke samundar mein ya pani mein rehna aur magarmach se dushmani. That if you live in a water where crocodiles and alligators live, in a water, if you want to live in water and then you also want to make the alligators or the crocodile enemy as well. Unse dushmani bhi kar, you have animosity and you also want to live in the same water. Meaning they have control, they have more power. And if you want to live in those waters, you should actually respect them and do not make them your enemy. So you are and me are living in the world created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which His power and His majesty and His glory and is much greater than any thing you can give example. What is a crocodile? What are other animals? What is human being? That even angels, jo farishte hain, they actually tremble with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel alayhi salam, itna bada farishta hai. It is such a great angel that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's zaat saw it the first time in its real form, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell unconscious and fainted. Such it filled the horizons and heavens. That nothing could be seen, no star, no sun, nothing could be seen. It filled everything in heaven. He has such a great figure, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. And that was only a part of him, because the heavens cannot, the earth cannot contain him. And it comes in the hadith that his wings, that one wings can spread and cover the east and west of this universe. It is such a great angel. And he has 600 wings. So these beings, they are such great beings, but they, because they know the power of Allah Jalla Majduhu, so they respect and they fear. And me and you and all others are nothing, and no one is going to go with you from this world in the hereafter and help you. As I have given you the example, we are not saving the people who are now living. When they are living, we are saying, we cannot save you. If you are killed, be you killed. Who is going to save you in the hereafter? Because there they will not, everyone will not have the opportunity to save. They will have no power to save. No one will have any power except who Allah wills, even for intercession cannot be done even by prophets except by the will and command and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi, who can intercede without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without his permission? And that is on the day of judgment. Now even we are living when we can help people, people are left an angel. So who you give your hand into, who you give your, that when everything and pledge the obedience to Allah Jalla Majduhu, like Hazrat Hatim Aslam Rahmatullah saw it. The first he said, someone asked him that who came in his real form do you love? And as Prophet fell unconscious, anyone knows the Mashaykh he loved only and fainted. But they said, anything amongst except that you love from this dunya. He said, I have pondered and I have reflected and I have thought deeply again and again that everything in this world will leave me when I will live here. If I love everything, it will be separated from me. Or I will be separated from it. I will die. The more you delve, the more you love deeply, the more agony and pain you will go through at the time of death when you will leave. You see, when these people of ours, when they leave their own countries and they leave their families behind, their mothers, father, parents, wives, some people live here and their wife and children are in Bangladesh or in India or in any other European country, wherever. But when they leave them temporarily, they feel for them. They feel, they weep, they feel sad and sorrow. They don't want to. Because there is a connection. The more connection it is, the more relationship is strong, the more you will feel. Similarly, Hazrat Hatim Aslam Rahmatullah Ali said that, I thought that if I establish a connection, a relationship with anything, be it wealth, be it women, be it any other thing, either it will be separated and it will leave me, or I will leave and I will feel agony, because that is sure 100% that I will have to leave, or that thing will be snatched from me. There is no doubt. So I thought, which is the thing in this world I should go after? He said, I thought again and again. And he said, I learned this from his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh was his teacher. And he stayed 33 years in his sohbah. And one of the things which he learned in those 33 years was this, which he is telling us. So Awliya Allah and Mashaykh and righteous people, they do not learn like we learn, read books and books and they say, I have learned this and I have this information. As I said, it has no use. Until what the Mashaykh say we have learned means that they have put into practice. And they really believe in that thing and they put in. So it bears fruit and they benefit from it. As I gave you the example the other day, everyone knows when then in lottery there's number 1 to 100 or 1 to 1000, whatever comes. They know number, what number they are.
But if they don't get the right numbers, it's not enough knowing, I know the numbers every week and the weeks to come. Because if you are not going to select the right numbers, there is nothing. Although it is haram, I'm just giving you an example. Because we have become materialistic people and we understand more things which are explained in the form of materialism. The matters of hereafter and akhirat and the unseen, we have become alien to them. Difficult for us to understand. Anything about money, anything about immediately, everyone will get. Everyone understands. So the Thatimasan Rahmahullah says that one thing I pondered and reflected over, and that which thing is that I should love from this world. I love Allah, I love Him. From this world, someone asked me what thing I should select. He said that I thought deeply again and again and again, and I came to the conclusion that when death approaches, everything's separated. The children are separated. The governments do not help. So, government, how can they help in the hereafter? In this world, sometimes they cannot help. The next world, it's out of question. So any system given by them, any system, way of life given by them is useless because it doesn't assure the guarantee of success in the hereafter. It doesn't even assure safety here. Living in this world, system of this world, it doesn't even assure safety in here. Anyone can be struck with anything at any time. There's only precautions you can take. Just a matter of luck, they say, you are saved up to you are saved, the day you are saved. So be mindful of the transient nature and the weak nature of the creation. Although it might look powerful to you, but it is not. So Hazrat Hatim Rahmatullahi says that when I thought deeply and I considered the teachings of my Sheikh Balkhi Rahmahullah, I came to the conclusion that it is the virtues and nekiya, hasanat, which is nekiya, and virtues, good deeds. He said, I pondered that if they are done with sincerity, they actually accompany you into the grave as well. They are not separated. The wealth comes back, the relationship, the father comes back, the brothers come back after janazah and lying in the qabr, everyone comes back. But virtues, my prayers, my nekiya, my zikr, my fasting, the remembrance of Allah Jalla Majduhu, the good deeds I did, they are not going to be left behind. They are going to be company in the grave. And it comes in some of the riwayat that when the punishment in the grave comes, from left or right, different amal actually protect the person. If it comes from the feet, the namaz and salah might protect. If it comes on the head side, another virtue will come and protect. Fasting will protect on one side. Jihad will protect on the other side. And also, moreover, that he said that these virtues and blessings are the things which are transformed into paradise and the things in paradise. Like if you say, Subhanallah, drakht lag jata hai, there is a tree. If you read certain things, do a good deed, maybe a palace is made for you, maybe hoors are created for you, maybe other blessings are created for you. He says, so these things have everlasting and they never leave you. So I fell in love with the virtues and nekiya and righteous thing. And I've left everything. Everything I thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever share of this world I have allotted you, you will get that share. So I became satisfied, but he said, Allah Jalla Majduhu said that you will get the worldly share of blessings, ni'mat, wealth, health in this world as I have done. But for the akhirah you have to do good deed. I don't give you guarantee. Allah Jalla Majduhu said, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is no living creature on the earth or in the earth Allah says, but it's my responsibility to provide rizq to it. Create rizq for it. Create provisions for it. In the sea or on the earth. But Allah Jalla Majduhu has not taken any responsibility for anyone that He will definitely enter you in paradise. No matter you do something or you don't. Has He? Other than Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, woh kisi ke liye Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not provided. It's a guarantee, especially after the companions now, to anyone that you do and spend and live your life as you want, and I guarantee you are in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given this guarantee. But about rizq, about provision, worldly provision, He has given this guarantee that you will not die until you receive your provision in one way or the other. You will receive your rizq. Every part and fruit which you have named, you will eat, no one else can eat. No one else can eat. But Hazrat Hatim Rahmatullah Ali says that how foolish is that person that about what Allah has actually taken responsibility that I will provide, I spend all my activities and worries about that thing which Allah has provided a guarantee I will provide you. And I am spending my all energies and skills about that thing. And about the matter which Allah said, I am not responsible, you have to do yourself the good deeds and righteous deeds, and I will enter you in paradise then. It is up to you. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ Whoever wants to believe and do righteous deeds, it's up to him. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ Whoever wants to become unthankful and disbeliever, it's up to him. So about a matter which Allah جَلَّ مَجْدُهُ has said, it is up to you. I am not taking any responsibility. That matter we say, Allah will forgive. Allah is غفور الرحیم. Allah بہت بخشنے والا ہے. Allah بہت merciful ہے. And Allah سبحانہ وتعالیٰ, no matter, I do something. So one of the mashayikh who was being said this, someone he said to a person that do righteous deeds, and he was giving him sincere advice, and he said, Allah is غفور الرحیم. Allah will forgive me. So he said that Allah is also Razzaq. Allah's quality, one of His quality is Razzaq, that He provides. Why are you doing all this business and why don't you sit here and do nothing? And say, when someone says, why are you not earning or why are you not doing anything? Say, Allah is Razzaq, because He's one of His qualities, Razzaq, and you are. In worldly matter, you understand very much that it means that you have to put effort in. But in the matters of your betterment and your welfare also, hereafter you do not understand. So Hazrat Hatim Sum Rahmatullah Alayhi said that I fell into love with the righteous deed, the good deeds, the tilawat of the Quran, the zikr, the masnoon azkar, the tahajjud prayer, nawafil prayer, the farz prayer, and the deeds of charity, being good to others. So he said, I fell into love with these things because they are going to accompany me in my grave. Others are leaving. Others are left behind. So we should also take heed and a lesson from the teachings of the Mashaykh. And as we were discussing the teachings of Imam Abdul Wahhab, he also spent in one of his Shaykh, he spent 35 years with, although being such a scholar and such a great man, he spent 35 years in one of his mashayikh. And another mashayikh of his, Shaykh al-Islam Zakariya Ansari rahmatullah alayhi, spent 20 years in his company, and also with Hazrat Ali Khawas and Shaykh Nuruddin rahmahullah, one of his mashayikh, he spent 35 years and 20 years with one of his. And then as I have mentioned to you that he benefited from 100 mashayikh, one after the other. And he was a man of great dignity and honor. He was the descendant of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani. That normal person by descent, he was also a great blessed person. He was from one of the sons of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His name was Hazrat Muhammad bin Ali.
He was the Rahimahullah. He was also the son of, along with Hazrat Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain. The difference is that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain was the his sons of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but they were, their mother was Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had other wives as well. After Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha died 6 months or so after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mashayikh also say that she was the most beloved person of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst his family. And she, look at how much he lived. She lived in the world. She did not live over 20 years in this world. Said if this world, this worldly pleasures were of any value, she would have been the person most benefited and most entertained of this world. But she as well, only the most beloved person of Rasulullah and the blessed woman of this ummah, Hazrat Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, she died while she was 20 or less than 20 an hour after Rasulullah. So, ye dunya, this world and worldly pleasures and all these things are not of such significant, any significance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While we live and we should use by the command of Allah Jalla Majduhu. But when I say that they are insignificant, and by that I mean that we should not use any blessing, any matter of world in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or let any worldly matter be hinder or become an obstacle by to the obedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ye hai Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ. Hazrat Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani was from the descendant of Hazrat Ali رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ, but from his son Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya and his also as you know he benefited from Sayyidina Ali رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ spiritually very much. This is the other son as well, and was a great man of piety and righteousness. And he stayed with Sayyidina Ali رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ for a long time until he lived. And his ancestors, they were the Salatin, the rulers of Chen and other this part of Arabia. His ancestors were not like normal people, but spiritually they were high. And also from worldly point of view, they were the sultans and the rulers of Tunis and other. One of his blessed ancestor, who was whose name was Sultan Ahmad, he was Sultan Ahmad. He lived at the time of a great Wali of the area where Sheikh Abdul Aziz Dabar Ahmadullah is from, Al Maghrib and Al Jazair, Sheikh Abu Madian, very famous Wali, and he was a ghost of the time as well of his. Sheikh Abu Madian, and he also comes in the forefathers. Spiritual forefather of Shaykh Abdul Aziz Zabar Rahmatullah alayhi as well. Shaykh Abu Madian was living at the time of Sultan Ahmad, who was the forefather of Imam Abdul Wahhab. Sultan Ahmad was very impressed with him, very loved him very much. His son was Hazrat Musa bin Sultan. Musa bin Sultan was the son of Sultan Ahmad. He became a disciple of Shaykh Abu Madian. He became disciple of Shaykh Abu Madian. And once Shaykh Abu Madian, his sheikh said to him, he was a prince and was to be a prince and was a crown prince, Hazrat Musa bin Sultan Ahmad. And his father was a king at that time. So, and he was also impressed with the Shaykh Abu Madian, and he was also. So once he looked at the true people, the true seekers, he was sitting with Shaykh Abu Madian. Shaykh Abu Madian said, Musa, I do not think for you Allah's closeness can be achieved while you keep this royal honor and you be a king and a prince. I do not see that the walayat of Allah, the friendship of Allah for you, maybe for anyone else it can come in one. The walayat of Allah, the friendship of Allah and the kingship together, I do not see in your person. So he, being a crown prince, he understood
the indication of his sheikh, he actually left. He did not become a king after him. He gave it to someone else. Or the kingship actually transferred to another family completely. And they being so actually long period of time, the kings of that area, because they were the descendants of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they now that dynasty or the, you could say, the kingship or the rulership changed. And that's why then Imam Abdul Wahhab was not amongst the king or the prince, because actually he was, I think, about third or fourth in descendant of Hazrat Musa, Rahmatullah Ali bin Sultan Ahmad. So he had a spiritual forefathers who were very righteous people, and he was amongst them. So it's like these people, but Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani Rahmatullah Ali used to say about his forefathers, great forefathers, but he left the kingship, the full, and it means a lot. Look, you sometimes sacrifice the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are the farz commands, which are the commands to abstain. Maybe things are haram. Maybe we miss our prayers. Maybe we commit sin. Maybe for little, I have an appointment with someone, so that my prayers can actually be, I will do them qada. And other things, I cannot sacrifice my sleep, my comfort, or the food which I get. But when someone says, gives the kingship away, imagine all the pleasures of the world actually are in there. Usme sab hai, at the climax. And everything, the women, the wealth, the honor, the glory of kingship, and they were, but they knew that to become a companion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the being his friend is a great honor. So they really understood. So they were willing to sacrifice. So when the Shaykh was said, actually, you do this, he did this. And how can I benefit? My Mashaykh say that you should, for example, pray tahajjud prayer. And I say, I have to sleep and my sleep is not very well, etc. Well, the same result I will get from my ibadat as well. And this has, as Shaykh Abu Madian said, for some people, these things come one in two in one. They come. There is a wali of the time, and also a great wali, and also king. But some people, they are not. So that is why the mashayikh, to some people they say go and do things, worldly things. To some they completely say abstain for some time, because they are. Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash, king of India, at the time, this year, different time. He was living there, one of the kings, and Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash was a very pious, righteous king. That's one of the mashaykh of India, mashaykh Chishti, Hazrat Mainuddin Chishti, or Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, Hazrat Ali Ajmeri, one of the mashaykh of the and walis of the Indian subcontinent, died, and they passed away. But in their wasiya, that which is to be fulfilled after death, which they did, and they wrote, was that my salatul janaza, my prayers, funeral prayers, that person will lead who has never touched or seen na mahram in his lifetime intentionally. Kisi ne na mahram ko us aankh ne na dekha, uski aankh. And who has, as soon as he has become baligh, he has not missed tahajjud prayer intentionally. Although tahajjud prayer is sunnah, and it is a very great sunnah, but it's not farz, but it was his wasiya that these conditions should be fulfilled. A person who have not touched and who have not seen a na-mahram intentionally, and who have not missed tahajjud prayer. And there was another condition about the sunnahs of asr prayer, that he had made the sunnats of asr prayer, which are sunnats of ghair muqaddah, which we think is nothing to us. So when his janaza, obviously it has been great people, scholars of the time, they came together, and normal people also got together. Even Hindus pay respect to these mashayikh and awliya. And they used to come and visit them, because all these people, us or you or any other people, most of the people who live in India, Bangladesh, their forefathers were Hindus. And how they became Muslim is through the efforts of these mashayikh and these Urafa and these Walis and Awliya Allah. It's not by army or by force they came into Islam. It is due to their tabligh and their... So Hindus used to come, and obviously they used to come to their gathering, then they turn into Muslim. If they don't come, how will they? So even now, people who, although they remain Hindus, but they still respect them. Even to their graveyard, although they do wrong things on it, on their graves, but they go and pay respect in their own way, actually. Because they heard from their forefathers that these people did not hate anyone by just for that I want to be the king and I want to be the ruler, or I want to increase the number of my family or my followers, etc. These people were selfless people. They had love for all, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you come into the circle of the obedience of Allah, for them actually, you are a prince. And because they were greatly practicing and acting upon the command and the ahad which I have said, which no wali actually can do that, be a wali without that, that they believe that we are the lowly from everyone. Existing, who are Muslim, from everyone we are lowly. Regarding hereafter, even kuffar might be better. So musalmanu se to ab filhal, in this state, everyone is better from amongst Muslims. From the kuffar, in this state, you are better, but when maybe you die on iman or not, you do not know. So regarding, in relation to the end result, maybe the kuffar are better. So they consider like these people are great, pious, righteous people. So all people coming together, and then when the wasiyat was read, and and the wasiyat of the wali was read, that this precondition or forecondition fulfilled, whoever person has fulfilled, then she should come on the janaza or the musalla of the imam. Now at that time there were many righteous and great walis of the time living. Great walis in the real sense living, but they did not come in front. This is not necessary that a person as soon as he became baligh or mature, he's been practicing. Maybe someone became Muslim after, or someone was sinful and they changed their life after, and now although they have reached the high stage, very high stage, but they have been committing zina or doing other things, or have not been safeguarding their eyes. But now they have deformed themselves. Now they have corrected themselves. But his condition was that since he has become baligh, he should have not done this. Ab koi bhi nahi aage aa raha. No one is coming. The janaza is there. And the announcement is there that, is there anyone? So there are ulama, there are scholars, there are imams, and there are mashayikh sitting as well, but no one is coming. But they are not insincere people that who will just come. Yeah. Then time passed, 15 minutes passed, half an hour passed, 45 minutes passed, they said someone must come, because if the sheikh has done this nasiha, this wasiya, there must be someone. And then they heard a very loud scream, filled with grief and sorrow and sadness. And that was the scream of sadness of the king of the time, Sultan Shamsuddin Altamish. And he was a disciple of the Shaykh. And he said that today you have torn apart the veil or my amal which were hidden from the creation. And he came to the Masalla and led the funeral prayer. So, baz king jo hai wo is tarah hue, the certain kings who have been sultans of our Indian subcontinent, and their amals were such. Imagine what will be the state of their other good practices when certain optional things they were so steadfast. Udar koi wali nahi. So, I was saying to you that in some people, these two things can come, like Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam.
He was a Nabi and he was a prophet. Dawood alayhi salam, David, the King David, the Prophet David, the Dawood alayhi salam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and extend solitude upon him. He was also a Nabi and a prophet and a messenger and also a king. But for Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Abu Madian's the forefather, Hazrat Imam Abdul Wahab's forefather, Shaykh Abu Madian, said that for you it is not possible. Either you have to leave the kingship and stop being a prince, or you have to leave the other path. He said, no, he understood the indication of Shaykh, so he went and he said to his father, that father, I am not going to be the crown prince or anything to do with the royal family. I am going to. So he left his palace, he left his, and he came to the Shaykh and he met him. And from his descendants is Imam Abdul Wahab Sharani, rahmatullah alayh. We were discussing the signs of the humble and person who have humility or humbleness, and we have discussed many of them. Some of them we will discuss today. Imam Abdul Wahab said, نیز سچے متوازے کی یہ بھی علامت ہے کہ لوگ جس قدر بھی اپنے واسطے مراتب کمال کا دعویٰ کریں یہ سب کو اکثر تسلیم کر لیا کریں اور دل میں یوں سمجھے کہ زمین والے اسمان والوں کی باتیں نہیں جانتے. He said that when people claim certain qualities for them, that I am truthful, I am wali, or I am whatever they claims they do, which is not obviously against Sharia, they should not claim to be prophets and Imam Mahdi or anything, that is out of question. But other claims which people do, I have done this virtue, I am very steadfast on this, and I have seen a certain dream or etc. etc. He said when people do relate things like this and or attribute certain matters of excellence to themselves, ye sabko, mostly this person, humble person who has this quality of humility or humbleness, tawadu, he accepts their claim. He accepts their claim because he considers, he says, you samjhe ke zameen wale asman walo ki baatein, that people who are living on earth, the earthly people do not understand the matters of heavenly people. Ye asman wale hain. They are heavenly, ye asman people. Many other people he see that they are heavenly people. Muslim people, they are heavenly. Wo nahi jaan sakte. So people living in this world, how can they know the matters and the things of the next world or heavenly people? So, yani kam darje wale se bade darje walon ke halaat ka khata, that we cannot comprehend the states and stations and maqamat of righteous people. So this person is saying they accept it. They do not say anything. Unless they say against anything against Sharia. For example, there have been many people in the history, and now also some people do. They claim to be Imam Mahdi, the promised Messiah, or to be prophet. Actually, obviously, they should be very harshly dealt with. Because they cause, why? Because they cause harm to the creation of Allah. And to the people, they lead them astray, and that's why. Pas agar mujhe in logon ke halat ka ilm na ho, if I do not know their states, their inner states, now maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown him, so I accept, they just accept. Because I am lowly, I am inferior to them, main unse kam tar hoon. And the other, one of the other ilamat and the sign is that he should not have develop feelings of resentment if anyone gives him advice, sincere advice, nasiha. If someone does amar bil maruf or nahi anil munkar, asks him to do good or enjoins good, commands good, and asks him to abstain from some evil, or gives sincere advice for nothing. It no matter whatever it is, if his advice and good advice. The mutawazu, the person who thinks he's the person who has this quality of humble, the sign is that he will not feel resentment or animosity or anger, that why this person is saying to this person. Let's say you are sitting and a person says and comes, says, why you do not read
four sunnats of Asr prayer. And you say, no, they are not Mokada. They are Gaya Mokada. You do not know. Maybe I read Tahajjud. You don't. So is tarah ki, this means, when the feelings are such come, this means that from the inner self and of the person, he thinks that he is better than the other person. So he is not willing to accept inferiority, that if I am doing this from other dimension, I am higher than you. So, or if someone says, do not do this, it is a bad thing, you know, but a person, why this person is saying to this me? Why this old man is actually saying this to me? If it is a good thing, listen. If it is a bad thing to abstain from a certain bad thing you are doing, also listen. No matter it is from a child, or it is from an ignorant person, or it is from others. He has given you the example that Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi took the words or the examples, or took lessons from dogs. Kuttu se bhi unhone ibrat hasil ki. That aside, Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah even said that there are certain qualities in a dog. There, he said, there are 10 qualities or so in a dog, that if any person adopts them, he will become a wali of Allah. And if time permits, any time, I will mention to you those 10 or 12 qualities which Imam Hassan Basri has said. He said there are 10 qualities in a dog, that if a person employs them, practices them, or adopts them, he will become a wali. And they are present in the dog. Unko to, yes. So a person, sign of humbleness, he should not feel really any resentment if anyone says. I was hearing from one of the mashayikh, he was relating from his sheikh, that he said, I was in the company of my sheikh, and there was a person who used to visit him and sitting near him in his majlis, and there were other seekers and normal people. And he used to object and say these things, certain things which were not reasonable, which he should not be saying to such mashayikh and such people. And he ridiculed and, no, out of the respect, people did not say anything to him because the sheikh was there. So, when 3 days passed and fourth day came, the disciple and the student said that to the sheikh, they said that now it is out of our, we cannot bear it anymore. Either give us permission to stop it because this person is making joke and accusing and saying bad thing. And he used to come and say that, what have you done? All this is drama and you should do this and that, like some people do, and etc. etc. What is this? And you should follow Quran and Sunnah and say many other things which he should not have said to such righteous people. So the students and disciples say that, Hazrat Sayyidi, if you give us permission to actually stop this person coming here, or actually it is out of our power now to bear it anymore. Actually, we are not able to stop ourselves next time he does like this. So the Shah said to them that, tell me one thing, that yes, he criticizes, he accuses, he behaves badly and he talks badly in an ill manner. But does he talk in this ill manner and behaves badly to you or me? He said, obviously it is towards you actually. Yeah. He said, then let me and myself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and himself be concerned with it. You have no concern about, don't be concerned about it. And if anyone wants and cannot forbear it due to what they think, then that person should leave our company. Yes, you have love and everything, but then you should stay. So then the person said that after some time that I've seen the same person picking up the shoes of that person, the sheikh. So mashayikh and awliyaullah and saliheen and righteous people and humble people who have this quality of humbleness, when anyone gives them sincere advice and advises them, they do not have any feeling of resentment towards, but they are thankful to that person. Look at Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the second caliph, the Khalifatul Muslimin. He said
that may Allah bless that person who brings the gift of my defects to me. He considered it gift. And his humbleness that Rasulullah ﷺ said about, it is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, not a normal book of hadith, Sahih Muslim mein hai, ke Prophet ﷺ said that there is a person called Uwais who lives in Yemen and who had not seen me. And he is very close to me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar, if you can take, ask and seek his prayers for yourself. Look, Prophet Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is the, after Hazrat Abu Bakr, the greatest companion and his darja. But to Waisa Karni, the Wali of that time, the Tabi, Khairu Tabi'in, Rasulullah said, the best Tabi. And in Sahih Muslim, Prophet ﷺ proclaimed that such awliya Allah who have not met Prophet ﷺ physically. Lekin aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam us Allah ke bande ki ye shaan hai, ye wali ki. Allah ke wali ki ke companion, and such a companion to Prophet ﷺ is saying to Hazrat Umar, that if you can in your lifetime, and you will meet him, ask him to pray for you. Ask him to pray. Ye Sahih Muslim mein ye hadith hai. In the Fazail of Hazrat Uwais Karni. And Hazrat Uwais Karni, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is the person who never met Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam physically. But spiritually, he was very close to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very close. Very, very close. So he has set an example until the Day of Judgment that people who have not met physically Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't despair that you cannot receive blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance of Allah, or the blessings and the faith of Rasulullah ﷺ, because there is no physical contact now. No, look at Hazrat Uwais Karni. Adopt the same. At another time, I will mention to you, I will teach you some of his teachings, and some of his saying, and some of his life story to you. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his, after the demise of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he became caliph, he met Hazrat Uwais radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Uwais Karni, and asked him and requested him so humbly that he was looking that I'm a servant or a disciple is asking a master. Hazrat Uwais Karni is a Tabi and Umar radiallahu ta'ala is a Sahabi. But imagine the matters when the love comes, when the real person is sincere with the heart, the matters come upside down. Now the companion is seeking the company of a non-companion. He is in search of company of a non-companion. And he is searching and seeking and that where is the Uwais, where is Hazrat Uwais, where is Hazrat Uwais. And when he meets him, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, and kisses his hands and asks him to pray for him. And this person is that person who is Ashra Umbashara, who is given the good news to enter paradise in this life. So humbleness is not like we think that any person from outside to say words of humbleness is really not humbleness. But yes, the person is trying, if he is trying to be humble, it is good for him. So is tarah ye ahlullah, similarly the awliya Allah, the righteous people, no matter which stage spiritually you reach or you think you have reached, still if you have not attained this station, there is no state for you. There is no station for you. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Hazrat Uwais Karni that, Uwais, if you, would you like, where are you, where do you intend to go now? He said, I intend to go to Kufa, the city of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. He said, if you, shall I write to the governor of Kufa? Shall I write to the governor of Kufa to be good with you and to fulfill any need which you have? He said, no, do not, please do not write to show me any respect or any such thing. I want to live like a normal person, and he went. And then even the governor of that time, the Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was a very strict person himself. He even admonished and hit and punished some companions due to the things which he, according to his standard, they were below. For example, to one of the companion, he said that I have heard about you that the two curries
they are actually placed in front of you in your table. And it is the Muslim's wealth which you are paid off, and this lifestyle which you have done. And so Hazrat Abu Huraira, who has narrated most of a hadith, the most narrated hadith by one companion is the Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. And he stayed with Prophet sallam not for a very long, not long as Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Some years he spent with Prophet sallam. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala once actually admonished so severely and said, I will hit you and I will admonish you and I will punish you that if you narrate hadith so excessively. Although he was doing it, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala thought that he is doing too. So his standard was so strict, but was Hazrat Uwais Qarni radiallahu ta'ala, who is not a companion and who actually is a non-companion, he is a tabi, he was so humble and said, I will do this for you, any gift you want, any money you want, Hazrat Uwais Qarni. And he lived there. He's magnificent, his life story, Hazrat Uwais Qarni, a man who has set example until day of judgment, the people who do not find the time of Rasulullah or his physical contact, his physical relationship with Prophet, that he lives in the time that not seen Prophet in this apparent world, for them the door is not closed. That is why there is a spiritual chain which is named after Hazrat Uwais Qarni, Silsilai Uwaisiya. Tariqai Uwaisiya means that it is such a silsila, such a spiritual order that in which a person receives faith through Prophet ﷺ, directly from Prophet ﷺ. There is no link in between between him and Prophet ﷺ. So, usko kehte hain waisi silsila. And one of the other signs of the humble and human people is that they should also, if they think they are lowly, they are inferior, or they are lowly than another, they should also consider that their opinions are also lowly about other things. Not I am very humble, but my opinion is strongest than all the people. Obviously, it's a matter of religion, deen, and scholar is clear about he should be steadfast on his opinion if he thinks this is Sharia. But in other matters, many other matters, there are optional, there are things. Then if I give mashwara ho raha hai, for example, there is a consultation, and I say, yes, that particular thing, that door should be fixed so and so, or for example, that matter should be done so and so, or this book should have this cover so and so, and the other person said this. Then also the sign of humble and person who has humility is that he will consider that my opinion is lowly than all. If it is not accepted, alhamdulillah, it never deserved to be accepted. If it accepted, he should be fearful of that other people who have good and who are more righteous and are gooder than me, and that their opinions, their mashwara are actually more highly of high quality. And his own opinions he should consider as well. This is a sign. And he should consider himself lowly. Now, not only about other Muslims, also in relation to his immediate family, his wife. Not that all other people are inferior, but from my wife I am superior. Yes, Sharia has given you certain rights and certain, but the maqam, with Allah, your place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, maybe your wife is 100 times better than you, 1,000 times better than you. Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az, Hazrat Mu'az bin Jabal, one of the companion were that there they were the when they were buried in the grave, the Rasulullah sallam was there and the companions were there, and Prophet sallam face and his changed with fear. And then, as the Prophet ﷺ said, the companion asked Prophet ﷺ said that the punishment of the grave is going to come upon this of my companion. So I'm very fearful. And he said, this is due to actually his wife, or he is not happy, or somehow he has been violated minorly, or some of her right, in any way. So he called his wife and she forgave that person, that companion, and then actually, although it was a companion. You see, so you actually, you can be a husband and the wife is wife. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَعْمَ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أُنْسَ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنُ. Whoever among, from the men or women, believe and do righteous deeds, they are blessed people. They are people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter husband hai, wife hai. So you should also consider other. But yes, in the matters of tarbiyah, when there is admonishment required for their betterment and for their, I have also mentioned before as well, that yes, one should actually show steadfastness. And it's not steadfastness like, for example, if the wife does not cook the food very well and you have actually all the house and walls and neighbors are listening, ke bhai aaj khana sahi nahi paka. And when she misses prayer, you are sleeping and say, she should be left to herself. And if she misses prayer, or she does something wrong, or she is watching or listening to songs which she should, and you are lenient, and when it's a matter of your, that my clothes have not been pressed rightly, or the food has not, you are very, very strict. So the strictness toward, it should be the opposite. The strictness should be regarding the matters of deen, and about your personal matter, with leniency, tenderness, gentleness, you should explain to her. Now may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal also we beg Allah jalla majduhu to bless us with some, even one minute drop of these qualities which if one can attain, one is one is blessed. Because many mashaykh, one of the shaykh said that I heard another bali praying, wo kar rahe the ke Allah, ek namaz, one prayer, with, I ask you for one prayer with ikhlas, which I can say, with ikhlas, with sincerity, which is for you. That the person who was listening, he said that, what is strange, he is only asking one prayer, ikhlas. And when he asked, he said that ikhlas and sincerity is such valuable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even if one small amal, any amal, one namaz sincerity is said with sincerity, it is sufficient for the forgiveness of the person if he has really haji prayed it. So, ye bahut bada hai. Allah paak hame bhi in qatron mein se ek qatra ata farmaye apne auliya ke sifat se and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki sifat se. Any question or any comment anyone wants to mention? कोई बात पूछनी है for more clarification or anything you may ask actually. Because I am also in the same position as you are benefiting from the teachings of Mashayikh, I also benefit in the same way. तो मैं भी इसी तरह फायदा उठा रहा हूँ like you are doing. Maybe I am in a more better way or more deeper that I benefit the most even with these I am in need of my most of them. तो आप पूछा करें शायद कोई बात जो है आपको समझना ये हो तो मैं तो समझा दूं. The humbleness is not the norm, yes, or the reason. Isko kehte hain in this what this thing is called kush amad. Ke bhai kisi mein kush quality, agar anything which is not present in some, but just to overpraise people. Now this is also a disease, because this is a sign of having excessive arrogance or takabbur. That if even some quality is not in you, meaning, ek to takabbur hai, if someone is very handsome or worth her very beauty, but she is arrogant or she is ignorant that she is very beautiful, someone has a good wife. Ek to ye hai. That they shouldn't be, because it is a blessing of Allah, and they shouldn't be showing takabbar and thinking about others as inferior. Now this is more actually serious than that. Person says, I have a bad voice, it's not nice, but still you should say how sweet your voice is and how actually sweet the sound is. Actually, so this actually is a reflection of those people who seek to praise and overpraise, that they have excessive takabbur in them. So there's no doubt that it is. So if you are saying that what should be your reaction about it, that you should pray, if there's praise needed for a certain work or anything, and really it is that they need, or they deserve that praise, you should give. And if it's not, then actually one should, that in the heart you think that they shouldn't have, and they do not have this quality, and with words and with your tongue you are over praising them, this is very, very dangerous for them as well as you as well. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah was sitting, and of one of his disciples, other disciples said about one of his disciples that Hazrat, this person is very, very steadfast on your instructions and azkar and righteous, his behavior is such excellent. And when Hazrat Junaid heard it, Hazrat Junaid said, no, this person is rejected. Ye mardood hai. And this person is rejected, and I say this person is rejected. And he really does not deserve to sit in our majlis, and he should be expelled from the majlis. And they actually expelled him. He went outside something. Then Hazrat Junaid said that these words for him was like a sword which will annihilate or kill his piety and righteousness. Your words were a sword for him and his good deeds, etc. And my words became a shield for that sword. Mere jo lafaz hain, wo uski shield ban gaye hain. Ab aindha na aise karna. Do not never actually. And Prophet also said, muh pe musalman ki tareef na karo. In front of him, don't over praise him. Let's decide over praise him. Usko praise bhi na karo. And because they will show slackness and laziness, and then gradually they will fall. Well, the best form I say you should do is to praise them after their backs, behind their backs, after they are not present there, in their absence. We do the opposite. Auzubillah. Ki jab woh hote hain, and we are very quiet and we say nice words and to them, and after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we say, such evil words about them. But it should be the opposite, that behind their backs, in their absence, good word. Even goodness is not, if you have at least judgment that this person have this goodness, you should say. Even if it's maybe it's not present in his heart, still you will be rewarded. But if you know for sure that, for example, in the world, that a person who you are working with, you are under a contract, you are working and under an employer, and they are not doing the work as it should be done, and they expect praise, so that is not allowed at all. By regarding the work, they are being dishonest, and and then extra, they are also getting your stamp of actually approval on it as well. So unko bilkul nahi karna chahiye, they will feel it, but yes, they will also know when they will sit quietly in their home or in the tyler that person was true. Really, we do not have that thing which he said. So unko phir ehsaas bhi hoga. So sahi khair khahi, good sincere advice is that no matter a person feels it bad, you should give it. Like they said, the Mashayikh said that Awliya Allah said that the true the advice and of the guidance of the righteous is like a medicine. That it's apparently it's bitter, the patient does not feel comfortable, it is bitter, it is not tasty,
the medicine is not tasty, but it benefits. तो वो उसके लिए वो बहुत यानी फायदा है. एंड द ओवर प्रेज इज लाइक पॉइजन, स्वीट पॉइजन. दैन यू कैन गिव पर्सन विल फील हैप्पी, ओ इट्स वेरी स्वीट, बट इन रिगार्डिंग हियर आफ्टर एंड इन हिज अदर मैटर्स. सो इफ यू आर आस्किंग वन शुड अकंपनी देम इन दिस बिहेवियर, यस आई एम सेइंग वन शुड नॉट, एंड वन शुड ग्रेजुअली ट्राई टू withdraw from this thing. Not at once, maybe you cannot, but gradually start moving these things. And if they do rightly something good, then you should applaud them to give them more encouragement, etc., etc. Then that is a different matter. Inwardly you should react very clearly that you do not have that quality, because you yourself are more aware of others than others that you do not have. So inwardly, if there is some part of the blessing upon you, if you don't have that quality, then obviously the matter is clear. You should say that I am wrongly this person attributing, although you should feel more shy and inwardly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He knows I do not have this. And if you have that quality, or some part of that quality, let's say you have done something, and that you have achieved something, and rightly you have achieved something, and the other person praises you. Now this is second scenario. Then you should attribute the blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah jalla majduhu. Attribute that. Don't attribute to yourself. Yes, I have achieved because I used to work very hard and do my homework on time, and this has happened. So don't actually go on that mindset, because then you are attributing to them yourself. As soon as any blessing you have, alhamdulillah, someone has done a course, someone has done anything, achieved anything, then they should attribute it to Allah. It is by the will and grace of Allah that He has actually bestowed me, and not to yourself. Now the praise, if someone praises you in front of you, I have heard about a scholar that he was doing a speech. He was supposed to do a speech. Wo baithe the, and so, like normal some people, they get up and they say such and such scholar and scholar of time and etc. etc. is going to do a speech and come. Now this person was sitting there, and he came up, and because it was in India, he got there was a dust and on the ground, he picked up some dust and filled his hand and threw at his face, at his mouth. So usne kaha, well, Hazrat, I am actually, it is you I am praying, not anyone else. He said, that is why I have done that, because I have also know a hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that jo muh pe tareef kare uske muh mein khaak dalo, that throw actually. So this is a saying of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which means actually that admonish him not to do it again, that this is harmful for muh. But he say, I am literally also practicing this hadith as well, so that you know that this is not a good thing. And this practice is not good and not liked by Mishai Yisra. कोई बयान होता है ना जलसा एनीथिंग एंड वन पर्सन स्टैंड अप द रियल उलमा एंड शायद दे डू नॉट लाइक इट दे सिटिंग विद ग्रेट शेम एंड शाइनेस देयर इन इनवर्डली दे फील सो अनकंफर्टेबल व्हेन पीपल स्टार्ट प्रेजिंग देम सेइंग दैट दिस इज दिस सच सच लामा एंड ही हैज डन दिस डिग्री देयर एंड ही हैज पास्ड इन मदीनातुल मुनव्वरा ही हैज पास्ड दिस डिग्री एंड in certain Daralum he has done this, and now he's written so many books, etc., etc. The real people, I'm telling you, of godly, that they do not like it, detest it very much, and they're inward. And there it is for a great mujahida for them to just to sit there, not to do anything, that they feel so uncomfortable. If he is happy,
then actually is the matter. So for you, the answer to your question, inwardly, if you do not have that quality, then obviously you are hollow. You should say, if someone, for example, you are completely naked, and someone say you are wearing very beautiful clothes and good quality. And obviously there is nothing to think, you know, there is no clothes, and think, oh, very shameful. So similarly, inwardly, if you don't have the clothes of that quality, if someone says you have these, yes, there is no doubt you should feel that. And if you have that quality, if you have or part of that quality, or that you achieve something and someone praises you, or say, then you should attribute it the ni'mah, the blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do be humble. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, he could have bestowed it upon someone else, and he bestowed upon me. And say to the other person that is your good thought about me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward me, but also reward you as well. And do not praise me like this, actually, that this is harmful. If you like to praise me, then praise me behind my in my absence, wherever you are. So, usko kehna chahiye. And firstly, it should not be done. Yes. But these are qualities which are attained in our spiritual course at the third stage. They automatically began to actually come up in a person. They emanate from in the heart of a person due to these mujahida, and the one does not have to do extra work for them. These are certain things you have to work, and then there are automatic system begins to work, and these things actually begin to come in the person.